Hello, welcome to Henderson First, Wednesday midweek service. Tonight, Pastor Kevin continues in the series in the book of Joshua, Possessing Your Promise. The book of Joshua is a powerful journey of faith, courage, and divine fulfillment. God has spoken over your life. The time of wandering is over. It's your season to rise, to take ground, and to own the promise. Let's listen.
Have your Bibles. We're going through the book of Joshua. We will not go through Joshua chapter by chapter, verse by verse like we're doing in Mark. And the reason is, you get to a certain point in Joshua, and all it says is, this is the clan, and they give the land. It's like five or six chapters. One, that's very hard to teach, and number two, it's kind of boring. And so we're going to skip over some of that, but you obviously can read it. Tonight, we're looking at Joshua chapter. We're going to start in chapter 5, end of chapter 5, go to chapter 6. And it's an account I have been... God's really been dealing with me personally, and this week as I've been preparing this message, the thing that I want you to know, if you leave here knowing anything, is God is always at work. Sometimes we believe prayer is convincing God to do something he doesn't want to do. I don't believe that's what prayer is. I don't believe God's a hesitant God that doesn't want to answer prayer, and we've got to beg him and say the right words. And I believe God's always at work. Sometimes we don't necessarily see God at work. We don't see it on the outside. Example is I have someone that I've been praying for their salvation, someone that I love greatly for a very long time. And when I'm with them, I don't necessarily see them getting closer to God. There's no outward evidence that I can see. But here's what I believe with all my heart. God's at work in this person's loss. God's idea. God initiated. When the Israelites went into the promised land, God was always at work. And this is important because it will change how you see people. Every person you come in contact with, God's at work in their life. When you go to work, your colleagues, God's at work in their life. Your family members, even some of those who are far from God, God is at work in their life. Your neighbors, God's at work in your neighbor's life. You may not see that. You say, well, my neighbor is the most honorary person you've ever seen in your life. But I tell you what, God loves them and he's at work in their life. And what we have to do, once you believe to your core that God's at work in someone, what we then do is watch for where God's working and join him in what he's doing. Because if we're going to see in the fall of Jericho, it is a partnership. God was at work delivering Jericho. There was no way back then with the weapons they had that Israel had any business taking Jericho. It was a city that was impossible to defeat. But God, before Israel ever crossed the Jordan River, which we talked about last week, was at work delivering that city to Israel. But it was a partnership. Israel had to do some things. So let's look at it. The first part, I love the end of chapter 5. So Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, this was right after they crossed the Jordan River, which we talked about last Wednesday, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, look at this, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or are you our adversary? And he said, no, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I have now come. And then Joshua fell on his face on the ground. Do you know what Joshua encountered here? It was an angel. See, artists and media has given us a total wrong idea of what an angel is. An angel is not playing a harp laying on a cloud. An angel is a spiritual being. And angels in the Bible had two purposes. Number one, angels were messengers. The best example of this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. An angel came to Mary, and she had a message for Mary that you're going to become pregnant, and you're going to give birth to the Messiah. Remember that? That was an angel. Second thing an angel is, so number one, angels come from God with a message for people. You see it throughout the Bible. Angels came. Second thing, also, they're warring spirits. They're warriors. Best example of this is he came to Daniel and said, I was bringing you the answer, but there was actually a war in the spiritual realms, and I had to win that war, so your answer was delayed until I could win the war in the spiritual realm and bring you the answer that you were looking for. What's amazing in Scripture is angels could take on human form. Do you know that? Here's a case of it. An angel appeared. When Joshua first saw the angel, he didn't see some guy playing the harp, some white. He saw a man. Had a sword out. To the point, Joshua, he's a warrior, right? He's like, okay, are you for me or against me? Are we getting ready to have a fight here? I mean, Joshua, he perked up. He's on guard. He's like, what's happening here? And he says, no, I'm neither for you or against you. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. He was a warring spirit. You have may have been in contact with an angel and not known it. Unaware. Did you know that? So be nice to people. It could be an angel. That's a good application there, right? So angels are spiritual beings. Their purpose in Scripture was to bring a message from God to a person or to fight spiritual warfare on behalf of those people. I believe here in Joshua chapter 6, the angels did both. We're getting ready to read in chapter 6, verse 1. The angel brought Joshua the strategy to take the city. Joshua and his commanders did not have a strategic planning meeting and count the way to take Jericho. Again, these walls were undefeated. You could not get in that city. There was no way. They didn't have planes back then. There weren't drones back then. You know, there's no way they could take that city. But the angel of the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army, came in human form and gives Joshua the shit of all. I don't believe I'm not telling you anything you don't know. How did the city come down? The seventh day they marched around 7 days, and then Joshua says shout, and they shouted, and the walls came down. I don't believe the shout caused the walls came down. I believe they were obedient. I believe the angels of God tore down those walls. So angels are ministering spirits, serving spirits that serve human beings. And there's twice as many angels as there are demons. You know that? A third of the angels rebelled and became demons. That means two-thirds of the angels are still with God. There's more. Remember Elijah's servant? They were surrounded, and Elijah asked God to open his spiritual eyes. And around the army that had surrounded Elijah and his servant, there were all these angelical warring beings around them. And Elijah says, there's more for us than against us. So angels could be with you when you don't see them. Now, I'm not saying the story I'm giving was an angel. Years ago, maybe you remember Chris, Michelle, and Allie, we were on a mission trip to Ecuador, and Michelle got hurt, broke her back, and we were in a cavern way down in this thing, and we had to get her out of this cavern, and the only way we could do that, we were way out in the Galapagos Islands. And we took a door off a building. We don't know who these people were. We just took a door and brought it down and laid Michelle on top of that door and start carrying her up this cavern. There was like ladders and steps. Probably the hardest work. Had to keep her steady. We sure didn't want to drop her after she already broke her back once, right? She wasn't tied down this ladder. We're coming up this cavern. And I'm telling you, we got to the top and we couldn't quite get her over and thing. And out of nowhere, this bald man showed up and reached down and helped us pick her up and set her on the ground. By the time all of us got up there, he was gone. Now, I don't know if it was an angel. It might have been some man that saw us struggling and helped us. And after he helped us, he just walked away. I don't know. But Tuesday, down in my heart, I kind of believe, did God send an angel to help us get her out of there? Again, I'm not claiming that it was because I'm not for sure. But that's one time in my life I look back. And you may have looked back when someone shows up just out of nowhere. Or how many times you're thinking in a car wreck and you know you're going to die or something. It's like your car corrects or the other car corrects. I think when we get to heaven, God's going to reveal. Many times this may have been angels that corrected your car or angels that corrected the other car and allowed you not to be injured. They're ministering spirits that bring messages to us, and they're warring spirits to help to bring spiritual victory to us. And we don't pray to angels. We don't worship angels. But I do believe we ought to be aware that they exist, right? And so we see in Joshua, Jericho was securely shut up. because the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, now look at this. I have given. Who was at work here? God was saying, I have given Jericho into your hand. God was at work. God's like, I'm going to give Jericho to you. I love this. And this king and his mighty men of valor. Now look at verse 3. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You shall go around the city once. And you shall do this for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. What's amazing, do this, you shall do this, you shall do this, you shall do that, right? So one time he says, I'm going to give you the city. 5 times he uses the word you. Notice the partnership between God and people. And that's the way God still works today. God says, I'm going to save some people. I'm going to do this. But then he says, but he did it with Moses, didn't he? God says, I'm going to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egyptians' hands. Then he says, Moses, but you shall go. Remember Gideon? Gideon, an angel came to Gideon and says, I'm going to deliver Israel out of the hands. And then Gideon goes, well, who's going to do that? And God says, I'm going to send you. Remember Isaiah? Same thing. So God says, I'm going to do it, but you got to go. I'm at work in your neighbor's life. I'm at work in your family member's life. I'm at work at your colleague's life. I'm at work in their life. But God's going to use you to help bring that person to Jesus. Does that make sense? Or he's going to, and then allow God to use us to partner with him. It's a partnership. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. But if you're going to see the walls come down, you got to obey me. See, victory always comes through obedience. God says, I'm going to bring down the walls of Jericho. And 5 times he used the word you. But what if Israel refused to go? Well, that happened before. What happened? He sent on the 12 spies, right? 10 of them came back and said, we can't take the land. Did that generation take the land? No. Did they thwart God's will? No, they're taking the lands now. It just delayed it. But that generation didn't get to enter into the promised land. A new generation did. If you don't obey, you don't have the power to deny what God's going to do, but you can delay what God's going to do. Make sense? So it's incredibly important that we know what God is doing, and it's incredibly important that we obey what God talked about Sunday morning. Only some things can only happen by prayer. The sovereign God, all-powerful God, has chosen not to do some things if people don't pray, and only do some things if people do pray, which is why we're having prayer here every Sunday morning now at 9:30 in the sanctuary. From 9:30 to 10, we're praying for our services on Sunday morning. Please be here. I believe it's going to increase the anointing and create an atmosphere here before our Sunday morning services. From 9:30, we're still having other classes. We're not canceling anything. We're still having Monday night prayer. We're not canceling it. We're just adding a prayer time on Sunday mornings. Look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 6. Then John the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let them who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So when Joshua had spoken with the people, the 7 priests bearing the continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he had all the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came to the lamp, and they lodged there. Joshua was a warrior. He was a commander. He was a leader. But I think this was hard for Joshua because God's plan to take the city made no sense whatsoever. He didn't teach them how to create a new weapon. He didn't give them any great military strategy. He didn't give them superpowers so they could jump over the wall. He gave them this crazy idea. 6 days you're going to march around the camp one time. On the 7th day, you're going to march around 7 times, and you're going to yell on the wall. But Joshua had to call the people to him and say, hey, here's what God said. Crisis of faith. What do I mean by that? Joshua had to believe two things. He had to believe God is who he said he was, and he had to believe God would do what he said he would do. And if Joshua didn't believe those, he's never going to all of his military commanders and saying, hey, guys, I got a plan. We're going to march around this wall six times. He had to believe that that angel that showed up in human form, he had to believe that was God. And listen, if you're ever going to do anything for God, when God speaks to you, you got to believe that was God speaking to you. Now, most of the time in my life, again, I think there may be in one time in my life I've seen an angel. Most of the time, God speaks to me through the word or through prayers, an inner impression. And sometimes my biggest challenges is I do this. Was that really God? Or was that bad Chinese food from the night before, right? I mean, is that an upset stomach? You marched down that wall seven times and shouted. He had to believe those walls were going to come down. Or what? Joshua was going to look like a fool. And I think Joshua knew he was going to look like a fool. Can you imagine the story if they had marched around that time seven times and Joshua said, shout, and nothing would have happened? Joshua had been a laughingstock. Joshua had to be willing to be a laughingstock. Joshua had to be willing to be a fool before people. When God speaks to you, it will lead you to a crisis of faith. You've got to make a decision. Do I really believe that's God speaking to me? And do I really believe that's what God's going to do? And if you do, you'll walk in faith. But if you, I promise you, it doesn't say it in Scripture. But I think Joshua, you know, for 6 days they marched around once, right? Then they camped. I think every night Joshua's like, God, you really got to do this. You know, Joshua's walls won't come down tomorrow. There's going to be a new commander in Israel, right? He's going to, like, I am going to lose my job. He's human. He had to make a decision. Faith is not feeling. Just because you say, I wonder if it's God or wonder if it, listen, we're all human. You're going to think, but down inside, you got to make a decision. You got to determine, no, that was God that spoke to me. And I know exactly what God wants me to do. And Joshua's job was not to knock down the walls. Joshua's job was to obey the word of the Lord. And can I say, same is true for you. Your job's not to heal anybody. Your job's not to save anybody. Your job's not to deliver anybody. It's not your job to do any of those things. Your job's to obey the word of the Lord. Only God can tear down the walls. Only God can save the lost. Only God can heal the sick. Only God can deliver the oppressed. It's not our job to do God's part, but it is our job. They spoke to a person. They knew it was God, and they knew what they were supposed to do. Every time. When God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, Moses knew that was God speaking to him. I promise you, God is smart enough to let you know when it's him speaking to you. God does not lack intelligence, and God does not lack clarity. When God speaks to you, you'll know, and you're knower, that it's God speaking to you. And I promise you, you'll know the next thing you're supposed to do. All right? Let's get back into Scripture. Joshua chapter 6, where I'm at, verse number 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests bearing seven trumpet ram horns of the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. The rear guard came after the Lord, and the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And on the second day, they marched around the city again and returned to the camp. I love this story. And they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. What I love about this is Joshua there made a faith proclamation. When Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, had the walls fell down yet? No. Joshua declared that the walls were going to come down before they come down. And I know sometimes this can be misused in the body of Christ. But there's no doubt that God, when God speaks to you and God gives you a word from the Lord, you need to declare that word. You need to speak forth the word of God. God told Joshua, when they marched seven times, shout, for the Lord is going to give you the city. I want to challenge you. Throughout Jesus' teaching, he talks about speaking to a mountain. He talks about declaring the word of the Lord. Now, this is not the same thing as magic. It's not saying abracadabra and manipulating God into doing things. This is only works when the word of the Lord comes from the Lord. But when you have a word from God, a promise from God, you receive that promise in the spiritual realm before you do in the physical realm. Does that make sense? And you've got to proclaim God's word. There's power. The Bible says God's word never comes back what? Void. It always accomplishes what he says to do. And so again, when you know you've got a word from the Lord, when you know it was God that was speaking to you, and you know that God, you know exactly what God says, you've got to proclaim that. You've got to declare that, talking about that. You can't manipulate God. He's sovereign, right? He's all, you're never going to manipulate God. I'm talking about when you have a word from the Lord, when you know you've got a word from the Lord. Joshua should shout, for the Lord is going to give you the city. And let's look what happens. Verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. It and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Remember that, because next week this can become very important. Lest you become a curse when you take the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come from the treasury of the Lord. I want to stop there. Remember Rahab? We talked about Rahab a few weeks ago. Remember her? She was the harlot, the prostitute that hid the two spies. And they made a promise in the instructions here. It says, look, we're a people who keep our word. In other words, Joshua didn't make that promise. The two spies did. The two spies came and said, look, this lady saved us, Rahab. If it wasn't for her, we'd have been captured. She let us down. And Joshua kept his word. He kept the word of Israel. I think Christians ought to be people who their yeses are yeses, their noes are no. And we make a promise, we keep our promise, and we keep our commitments. And sometimes I get word in our culture that keeping our commitments is not nearly as popular as it used to be, nearly as sacred. There was a day when you shook someone's hand, it was better than a contract. Nowadays, we're so in the legal system and litigation that we have all these, you know, contracts. I think Joshua's a pretty good example there. Joshua's like, look, we're going to defeat this city. The walls are going to come down. But hey, I want you guys to go, and I want you to sing. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted a great shout, and the wall came down flat. Then the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, donkey, and the edge of the sword. Verse 22. But Joshua said to the two men who spied out the country, the two men that Rahab saved, or the two men that Joshua sent. Isn't that great? Can you imagine that reunion? Because Rahab probably had no idea, you know, they escaped, there was no communication. I can't imagine the joy when those two men walked. Because I think Rahab's like, I hope they come get us. You know what I mean? I mean, this was just a word thing. So he said to us, go in the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has. You swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. Look at this. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua went out to spy out Jericho. We talked about last week, one of the reasons we can have confidence in the Bible is because of its detail. You got to remember, when the book of Joshua was written, this was soon after it happened. And I love that part that Rahab is still living with the Israelites to this day. In other words, the people who read that historical thing, they would have known if it wasn't true. Right? I mean, we're reading it thousands of years later. But when it was first written, they read it soon after the incident happened. Rahab may have still been alive, or maybe she wasn't alive. Maybe her kid or grandkids or nieces and nephews. They lived in the nation of Israel forever. They not only saved her life, and said, yeah, I know Joe. He's Rahab's great-great-grandson. Still lives down the street. Isn't that amazing? And I think we miss that God gives us details to build our faith and have confidence in the Word of God. That God's Word is not a fairy tale. It's not a story. It has stories in it, but it's not a story. The book of Joshua is an accurate historical account of what really happened. These walls really came down. Israel really took the city of Jericho. We know that to be true because it's part of the land today. This is true. This is not a fairy tale. And you can have, listen, if you can have confidence in Joshua chapter 6, that means you can have confidence in John chapter 10 and Philippians chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 20, right? Because God builds confidence in us. He gives us these little details that sometimes if we read that they didn't just save Rahab and her family, they brought her into the family. He says, you're now part of us. You're living with us. We're going to take care of you. You're going to work with us. You're going to eat with us. These were Gentiles. These were the enemies of Israel. But Joshua, listen, this is so good for us. Joshua not only kept his word, he went beyond his word. His only commitment was to save Rahab and her family. But he went beyond that. He took care of them for generations. And I think as godly people, we should not only keep our word, let's go beyond our word. Jesus kind of talks about this, right? If one man slaps you in the face, let him slap the other. If one man tells you to go one mile, go two. Bless those who curse you. Be good to those who try to persecute you. Not only keep your word, go beyond your word. Our lives should be a witness to those around us on how we act. Do some things. And I won't, but it is the worst. You know, you never get a person. You have to go through these things. It is the worst one of those I've ever been through in my life. And the lady on the phone was very nice, but she would ask me a question, then she never quit talking, so I could never, answer the question. And I was like, you know, I'm waiting for her to stop talking so I could give her an answer, and she just kept talking. So finally, I tried to be like, ma'am, I go, can I talk? I got the answer. She wanted to know, I got it, but you got to stop. But can I have kindness? Now, this lady doesn't know who I am. She didn't know I was a pastor. She was in India somewhere. She was not in the States. Probably never going to meet this lady, right? But can I be kind to that lady? Can I be kind to her? There's no repercussions if I was rude to her. Right? I'm never going to meet this lady. Can you be good? Because no one was watching. I'm by myself. I called from my house. Kathy was already here at the church. I'm in my house. No one knows I'm having this conversation. But you know who did? God did. God heard every word. He just kind of checked me today, because I was getting frustrated. I was dreading making the calls. I knew what it was going to be like, right? So you get yourself worked up before you even call. So I've done this before. And I can never get out of the system. I just want a person. They sent me a link and they sent me a text. And I'm like, I want a person. I just want to talk to somebody because it was kind of an unusual request. The link was not going to help me. And doing that. But can we be like Joshua, not just people who keep our word and keep our commitments, but go beyond our word and beyond our commitments and be kind and be good even though no one else does it? Verse 20 verses the land. Do you know Jericho as a city has never been rebuilt? If you go there today, it still ruins. Again, the power of your words. Joshua cursed that city. And even though all around that place it's been rebuilt, there's nobody living where Jericho was. It's a desolate place. Parents and grandparents, be careful what you speak into your kids. There's power in your words. Spouses, be careful what you speak to your spouse. There's power in your words. Sometimes we joke to be funny and put down our spouse, but it's not funny. Never make your spouse the butt of a joke. Never make your friend a butt of a joke. Don't get a cheap laugh and cause someone to be wounded on the inside. our blessings and cursings matter. That old kid's saying, they used to say I was a kid, I don't think they say it anymore, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Biggest lie you ever told, right? Give me a broken arm. I can still remember some words people have spoken to me in the past, hurtful words, right? I'll never forget when I was in middle school. I can still tell you who did it and where I was at, North Middle School. A girl in front of me turned around and said something, making fun of me. I'm 60 years old now. I was probably 13 years old. I still remember that. Now, I'm past it. I'm not mad or anything like that. But my memory never forgot her doing that. She don't remember it. And she was just being funny. But I'm telling you, words matter. And so we do faith declarations where we proclaim the word of God. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So in hallowed be thy name, I've been declaring that God is holy over my life, my family, and my church, and that God is holy over my city, my nation, and my world. And then when it says, thy kingdom come, I've been declaring God rules and reigns over my life, my family, and my church. And I've been declaring that God rules and reigns over my city, my nation, and my world. I'm not doing hocus pocus. I'm declaring the word of God. I'm declaring what God said. God said, pray, hallowed be that name. That word hallowed means to be holy or to be set apart. So I said, God, I declare that you're holy over my life. I declare you're holy over my family. I declare you're holy over our church. And thy kingdom comes as king of a kingdom. It's the rule and reign of God. So I've been declaring, God, you rule and reign over my life. You in God's word. There's also power in our cursing. It is. It says it here. No one. Verse 27, last verse. So the Lord was with Joshua. I love that. How did the walls of Jericho come down? God says, I'm gonna take this, give you the city. And then he was with Joshua. Joshua had to act in faith and obedience. And as Joshua acted in faith and obedience, God was with him. And his fame spread throughout all the country. Some action points here for all of us here. What do we want to learn? Number one, angels are spiritual beings who are messengers of warring spirits who sometimes come in human form. Angels are real. They're spiritual beings. They have two purposes. They'll bring you a message from God, or they'll do battle for you in the spiritual realm. And sometimes angels appear in human form. Number two, they keep their promises. Number three, God's at work. God told Joshua, I'm going to give you this city. I want you to know, tomorrow, every person you see, every single person you see, God is at work in their life, even if you can't see it on the outside. Number two, you've got to respond in faith and obedience. When you see God at work, and God gives you a word from the Lord, you've got to act in faith. You've got to believe it's God who is who he says he is, and you got to believe God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And if you're ever going to see God do anything in your life, it's through obedience. Then God accomplishes his will as you obey, because he's with you. God is with you. Why does this matter? This whole thing tonight, why does it matter? If we catch this as a church, we'll see for that evidence, and you're going to respond in a faith and obedience when you see it. God will open up doors for you to be a witness, to be a blessing, to care for people, to speak life into people. But we get so busy on I that we miss that God's at work in the people around us, right? It matters. This is the pattern that God uses. I'm going to give you a book recommendation. Then Dylan, can we play some music tonight? The book that has impacted my life more than any other book in the Bible is Experiencing God by Dr. Henry Blackaby. I've got it in my office. I was going to bring it. Forgot it. Now, you can get a workbook. Don't get the workbook. Get the book. But it's Experiencing God by Dr. Henry Blackaby. It's now 30 years old, and I read it when it was brand new. And I've reread that book at least once a year, every year since then. Because it kind of helps me know how you can know and experience God's will. It's an incredible book. Simple. Never asleep. You don't have to beg God to work. Again, when that person that I talked about at the beginning, that I'm praying for their salvation, I was with them recently. And I was just looking for little openings that God, maybe a comment they would make or something that would reveal to me that God was at work on their heart. I don't push it because it just pushes them away. I said, if you believe God's at work, you don't have to force it. You just wait for God's timing, right? And I've made a mistake with some of my loved ones who try to force Jesus on people and push Jesus down their throat. And that's never once gone well. It's never. Usually it hurts the relationship and you're actually worse off than before. I believe God's at work in this person's life. I love them dearly. And I'm watching for a comment or for something that can reveal to me that they're responding to God's activity than I do, and he's at work. And I just look for little evidences. And then I can seize on that, and then I partner with God because he's with me. I just encourage you, tomorrow, don't just look at people with your physical eyes. Look through your spiritual eyes and be on watch where God's at work. And when you see evidence of the activity, there's something that you just know, that's God working in their life. They wouldn't have said that if God wasn't working in their life, or they wouldn't have done that if God wasn't working in their life. Then you can take that moment and you can faith and obedience. Right? Faith and obedience. God, listen, if you'll start doing that, God will use you in more ways.